You may be seated. If you would turn in your Bible, I want to direct your attention to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're continuing the series on sound doctrine. Tonight, we have come to Article 12, Divine Healing as in the Atonement. That's my subject. Millions and millions of people today, they are looking for truth. The Bible is the only real source of authority that we have for truth. I used to sit in business meetings in the corporate world, and I would laugh and snicker under my breath because they brought all these people in to teach business principles. And for everyone they ever taught, I could take it right back to the Bible. And I had another friend in there, and he was a preacher. And we would just laugh and get outside and say, you know, that they were speaking Bible. The only source of authority for real truth you have is found in this book right here, the Bible. It's in the Holy Scriptures that we find the answers to life, to prosperity, and to eternity. And it's important that you know from the Scriptures what you believe and why you believe it. And so one of the greatest needs in the church today is to come back to the Bible, back to the cross, back to Jesus, amen, back to the authority of the Word of God, back to its truth. I hope you enjoyed Sunday morning sermon. I had a blast preaching that. You know, I didn't name a first political party, but I sure laid down some real political truths there. Hallelujah. Thank God America's on the rise. You know, the Bible is relevant to every generation. And it's relevant because every generation needs a Savior. Look with me at, as Paul writes to young Timothy, these following instructions, 2 Timothy 4 and 2. Paul said, preach the word. That's good instruction for a young preacher. Amen. Paul is seasoned preacher. He tells his young man, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Look at this. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. So doctrine's important. He said, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. We're in that day, in that age now. But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. The news media and people in the political world, they are trying to redefine truth when it comes to sex, when it comes to gender, when it comes to marriage. They are trying to redefine what God has already set in the Holy Scriptures. So what they're saying is truth that isn't relevant. It's truth that they think is truth, and tomorrow it may not be truth where they are concerned. But I can tell you one thing. This word is forever settled in heaven. And it will be true when the endless ages are rolling on and on for eternity. Look at verse 4. The Bible says that people, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. You know, we got people that are gay. And they say, God made me this way. No, God didn't make anybody that way. God made normal people. He did not make homosexuals. He did not make lesbians. God made people. God created the marriage bed. He created the family. And people that go outside of the Word of God. And Paul, he puts a whole scripture out there, 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. It's not in my notes. Just put it up there since I'm there. 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. He says, know you not. Don't you know the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Neither adulterous. Look, know you not the unrighteous? Don't you know the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, homosexuals and lesbians, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. That's sodomy. That's what that is right there. Abusers of themselves with mankind. Trying to redefine. Now, this is over 2,000 years ago. So this struggle was going on then, and it's still real today. But guess what? The Word of God, it stands, and it will stand the test of time. Thank God for the Word. Amen. Tonight I want to continue the series on sound doctrine. In this series, we've been reviewing 14 articles of faith of the International Pentecostal Church. And tonight we've come to Article 12, Divine Healing as in the Atonement. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. Jeremiah said that words were found and I did eat them. And Lord, sometimes I feel like I could just eat it. And Lord, we need soul food. We need the Word of God, Lord, for our soul. And Lord, we just ask you tonight to illuminate our hearts and our minds, give us revelational knowledge on this great subject of divine healing, because we're your children and healing, divine healing, is the children's bread. Illuminate our hearts and our minds. And the church said in Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you look at Article 12 on divine healing, the article reads, we believe in divine healing as in the atonement. I like the way the Church of God writes that. It says, we believe that divine healing for all is in the atonement. We mean that. We just don't say all. I like that word, all. I believe it's for all. And if you don't believe it's for all, guess what? The devil will whisper when you have a need. He'll say, it's not for you. So you've got to believe and base everything that you need in every situation on the Word of God. And I'm going to show you that at the end of this sermon if I ever get to it. Look at 1 Peter 2 and 24. Peter's looking back at the cross. He said, for who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. We do not sin because we have a sin nature like we sin when we had a sin nature. The old man should be crucified by now. That we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is free from sin. So he bore our sins in his body on the tree, in his body. He took stripes so that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. And then he says, by whose stripes you were healed. So it's past tense. He's looking back at the cross. So everything that you will get from God on the basis of the covenant that we live under today, it is based on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has revealed himself to man by many names, and the redemptive name of God is Jehovah. And there are eight compound redemptive names that deal with the nature of God. All of those are fulfilled in the name Jesus. He is our Jehovah Sidkenu, our righteousness. He's our Jehovah Makedesh, our sanctify. He's Jehovah Shalom, our peace. He's Jehovah Jireh, our provider. And on it goes. But I love them. He said, I'm your Jehovah Rapha. I love the sound of that. I'm Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Hallelujah. Now, if you look at Exodus 15:23, that's where you'll find that. Now, I have a personal revelation from God on that he spoke to me in 1995, there about 85. I have to go back and look. I believe it was 85. I laughed when he said, I am the Lord. He said, thy God that healeth thee. And I wasn't sick. And God was telling me about my future. He was giving me a prophetic word. I spoke in tongues, and my pastor interpreted it. It was so powerful, I wrote it down. And I'm living that thing out, and this is years and years later. I laughed. I said, God, I'm not sick. Well, I did get sick. Guess what? It did show up. And I just went right back to the Word of God. I said, God, you're my healer. Now, I walked through this thing for 10 or 12 years, but I knew that God was my healer. Matter of fact, I jumped up the other day when I said, Paul perceived he had faith to be healed. And I danced all over the living room. I said, Teresa, have you ever seen me be sick after 26 years of marriage and not get healed? Have you ever been sick and not get healed? Have you seen God heal our children and heal our little grandchildren because we speak the word of God, believe the word of God? You've got to let your faith loose. Hallelujah. So I just got up and danced all over the place. Hallelujah. Have you got enough faith to do that? Faith without works or without corresponding action is dead. It won't do a thing. But if you put your faith to work, it will work. Now, look at this right here. Exodus 15:26. God is the doctor, the physician, or the healer of his people, and healing is part of his nature. It's part of the redemption that he did at Calvary. He said, I'm your Jehovah Rapha. Think about it like that. Healing is the nature of God. Look at Exodus 15:26. God said, if thou wilt diligently hearken unto me, he rewards those that diligently seek him. If thou wilt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight. He's laying down some conditions. And will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. Then he says, if you'll do that, I will put none of the disease upon thee which I brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. He says, I'm the Lord that heals you. When he spoke that to me, he said, I'm the Lord thy God. So he made it very personal to me. When you get a rhema from God, remember it the way the Lord spoke it to you. Because he's making it personal to you. And when you get that word, It doesn't mean it's just going to automatically happen. You will have to use your faith. Because if you stagger or waver, the Bible says, let not that man think he'll receive anything of God. See, there are many promises in the Word of God that are conditional. So that's conditions associated with divine healing. Look at that scripture, Exodus 15, 26. So you've got to listen to the voice of God. That's the first thing. You've got to obey God. You've got to do right. You've got to keep his commandments. You've got to keep his statutes. Now, God is a good God, and he will heal. I cannot tell you how many sinners I have prayed for, laid my hands on them, and seen them instantly heal. I've had preachers tell me, God doesn't heal sinners. Well, let me tell you, he does. And I could pull a testimony of a bunch of them in here if they would come to the church. Amen. I've seen them get million-dollar miracles and never come back and praise God for it. But there are conditions that indicate there is an intimate relationship between obedience to God and healing, divine healing. Not only is healing the nature of God, but healing is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Lord our healer. The scriptures teach that Jesus bore our sins, our sickness, in his body, and he became our Jehovah Rapha, our physician. Hallelujah. The great physician he's called. Now look at this. When the first man, Adam, fell into sin, sin came upon all men. You got to know that. And with it, sickness and death, it entered into the physical realm. Where did it come from? From the devil. If there's sickness of any type, let me tell you, it's because the whole creation is in groaning because of what happened to God's creation. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, 21. The Bible just backs this up. For since by man came death. Where did death come from? From man who went into sin. By man came also the resurrection of the dead. Look at this. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Isn't that beautiful? And look at 1 Corinthians 15, 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, which is Jesus Christ, he was made a quickening or a life-giving spirit. If the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken, heal, or make your mortal body alive by the same spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, you need to get scriptures in you so you can talk the word of God. Where does faith come from? Hearing the word of God. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, 47. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Jesus is not the second Adam. He's the second man. He is the last Adam. There will never be another. There will never be anyone that will pour out their blood for remission of your sins. There will never be another that will take stripes upon his back so you can be healed. He is the second man, the last Adam. I hear a lot of people misquote that. Just know who you're talking about. It's important. See, the relationship that we have with God was accomplished by the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. And the redemptive work includes pardon from sin, total forgiveness, and healing for the physical man. Look what Isaiah said. Isaiah 53 and 3. Isaiah spoke of it, and he prophesied of this great truth 700 years before Jesus came. So Peter, when he was up on the mount, he said, I was on the mount. I saw him transfigured. I saw God's glory. He saw his miracles. He said, but let me tell you something. I have a more sure word of prophecy. Holy men of old spake as they were moved upon by the Holy Ghost. So it's important that you get God's word and know when that word was spoken, who it was spoken to, and that prophecy has been fulfilled. Now look at Isaiah 53 and 3. He is despised and rejected of men. He's on the cross. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our face from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Verse 4, surely he had borne our griefs. You had any griefs? Give them to Jesus. Carried our sorrows. You have any sorrows? Give it to Jesus. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But look at this, verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. Look at that. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. There is the spirit man right there. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. That's the soul, the mind, the solical man, mind, will, and emotions. So we see that he took care of the spiritual problem. He took care of the mental problem. And by his stripes, we are healed. So he took care of the physical. So God is interested in the total man. He's not just interested in you getting to heaven. If that were the big thing, we'd all just get saved and shoot everybody and boom, they go right on to heaven instantly. But God says, I want you to have life and have it more abundantly. And I'm going to promise you this. If you're going to live the abundant life, if you're going to get great treasures from God, you will have to make much of the Word of God. You'll have to spend. Now God is good. And God will send somebody this season. He'll send somebody along operating in the gifts. You want to know why I preach so much scripture? I do that because I'm trying to get your faith out. And a lot of times when I'm working these altars, I perceive, I discern that you have faith. And when I see that, I go right to you. I used to preach revivals, and I would go past 10 people to get to somebody in that prayer line where I saw, oh, glory, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. And then other people, they just stand in that way. I hope something happens. I hope so. No, you got to know so on the authority of God's word. I'll show you this as it unfolds. Hallelujah. See, where the King James Version in Isaiah 53 and 4 says griefs and sorrows, the literal Hebrew, it says sickness and disease. Look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 16, because this is the best commentary that I know concerning Isaiah 53. Look at Matthew 8 and 16. This is the commentary that's written by the Holy Ghost. This isn't what some theologian thought in some seminary and wrote down. This is what God moved upon men who wrote the Bible to write. And look at this. It says, when the eve was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. He cast out the spirit with his word and healed all that were sick. Now, Jesus is at Peter's house. Peter's mother-in-law is sick with the fever. He stands over her, and he noticed that fever, he spoke to it. So he was dealing with a spirit. You got to know sometimes you're dealing with spirits. And he spoke to it, and the fever departed from her. It understood Jesus, that fever did. It departed from her. And she got up and ministered to the Lord. And the Bible says, when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. The people found out Jesus was there. I want them to find out Jesus is here at Westmoreland. Amen. And so they brought many that were possessed with devils. He cast out the spirit with his word and healed all that was sick. Why did Jesus cast out the spirit with his word? And why did he heal all that was sick on this occasion? Look at Matthew 8:17. Here it is, the best commentary on Isaiah 53. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now, Jesus demonstrated his power over the spiritual realm by casting out devils. So there's not a devil that he cannot cast out. There's not a devil that if you understand your authority, that you cannot cast out. You have exousia, power. You have dunamis, power. You have kratos, dominion. And you are who God said you are. You have what God said you have. You can do what God says you can do. And when the devil knows you know who you are, guess what? He's got to go. Now, he'll take all the counseling you'll ever give him, but when you whip out the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and he knows that you're a warrior. Jesus said, the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. You cannot be passive about this thing. Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life. The devil will drag you back in chains if you will let him. Every day you get up, you are in for a battle. But it's a glorious day because we're fighting the good fight of faith and we win. Hallelujah. We walk with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We have joy unspeakable that's full of glory. We're here to set the captive free. We're here to preach the everlasting gospel. We're here to be a witness, not here to have religion and sit in church. Amen. We are here to do a work for God. Hallelujah. I had some men working for me today, and I got to preach to them real good. I gave one of them my card. I said, go out to the website. A businessman called me. I said, go to my website if you want to hear some preaching. He was talking about the state of our nation. I said, go out and listen to this sermon. I said, I laid it out. Hallelujah. Did I lay it out? I had the thing finished, I thought, until God came to me on a Friday night and woke me up. And I got to get up the next morning and put a whole nother ending on the thing. The first ending was good, but it wasn't what God wanted. God wanted me to talk about Noah. God wanted to talk about a man that lived thousands of years ago, that he got his whole family saved. And he wants us to turn this nation around. Let's get back to my subject matter here. Hallelujah. So in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament, the Lord declares that he is our healer. Now, I want you to notice some things about these scriptures. Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we're healed. Total man, okay? Now, I gave you that commentary. Now, here's what I want you to see. Every one of these scriptures all point to the finished work of the cross. It is the work of the cross that brings salvation. It is the work of the cross that brings healing. It has nothing to do with your goodness. The reason you have to be good is because you have a human heart, a spirit, a human spirit. If our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. You cannot walk in sin. You cannot treat people wrong. You cannot withhold forgiveness. You cannot have a relationship with your husband and wife where you don't get along. You cannot ignore the poor and have faith toward God. You have to obey God. You have to. The little foxes spoil the vines. It's the little things. What that means is that the big foxes, they would just get up and pull the grapes off the vine. The little foxes couldn't get up and do it, so they would gnaw the root of the vine. Kill the vine, it would fall down, and they would eat the grapes. That's what spoiled the vine. So it's those little things in your life that keep you from getting miracles from God. Hallelujah. You want something big from God? Walk with God. Everything you will ever receive from God comes by faith in the finished work of the cross. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself daily, take up his cross and follow me. See, we need to visit the cross. We don't live there. We're seated together with him in Christ, with the Father in Christ. But we need to visit the cross and the work of that cross. We need to think about that and renew our minds with it every day. Be reminded that the source of every blessing, all the grace, all of our peace, every good gift, every perfect gift, it comes from God. And it flows to us from Calvary, and it flows to us from the finished work of the cross. It doesn't flow because I've been good, because I talk, because I'm religious. And so many people in the church miss that. They get a religious spirit, and then they're so proud of their denomination. Your denomination never saved anybody. I promise you, it never saved anybody. Religion never saved anybody. Jesus Christ shed his blood at Calvary's cross, and that's the only reason anybody ever got saved. You know, we magnify the wrong things, and we think those things are important. No, they aren't. They're not important at all. The most important thing you can ever know is that Jesus Christ loved you. Jesus Christ went to an old rugged cross. They beat him beyond human recognition, and he took your sickness, your disease, your pain. And when you accept him, you come into covenant relationship because of the work of the cross. And everything you will ever get, you will get if you go to him on the basis of the cross. Go any other way, you will get nothing. Am I preaching all right? All right. See, taking up the cross means taking yourself to Calvary and realizing the benefits, looking to Jesus and the finished work of the cross as a source of every blessing. Taking up your cross means you're living the crucified life. You're not trying to enforce your will. You say, God, what do you want me to do? And you live every day like that. It's a glorious life. takes all the struggle out of everything. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews 12 and 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, here it is, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father on high. He endured the cross. He paid for everything you will ever need. And if you'll go to him on the basis of the cross and not your good works, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, is a gift of God. You know, religion, it can't save you. This denomination will not save you. I talk to people, oh, I'm Baptist. I'm Pentecostal. Well, are you born again? Are you in the body of Christ? You know, I'm just trying to help some people, because the Lord wants us to begin each day understanding that our faith needs to be renewed and refreshed by remembering the work of the cross. See, the devil is a master of trying to get us over into good works. Oh, he'll tell you, you did good. But see, good works can't save you, and they can't heal you, and they can't keep you. It's the cross. And that's why Paul said, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom I am crucified to the world and the world unto me. Put Galatians 2:20 up. That's not in my notes, since we're talking about being crucified. He said, I'm crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Whose faith do you have? You have the faith of Jesus. You do. You have the God-like faith. And if I had time to preach on it, I can prove to you from the Word of God that the world does not have faith. The Bible says God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. In Romans 12 and 3, he's talking about every man among you, those that have been saved. The world doesn't have saving faith. They're lost. They're not children of God. You are a partaker of God's divine nature. You have Christ in you, the hope of glory. You are the temple of the living God. And to get yourself mixed up with the world, that's why the Bible says, come out from among them, be ye separate. Separate yourself unto the gospel and understand who you are in Christ. Hallelujah. The blood purges our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. He forgives all our sin. He heals all our disease. He crowns our lives with loving kindness and tender mercies. So put your faith in the work of the cross. Don't put it in any denomination. Don't put it in any ritual. Don't even put your faith in your faith. I've had the devil try to tell me, you have faith. I've had people tell me, you have great faith. I know you can do it. I tell them, I said, I'm not going on my faith. I'm going on the basis of the cross. And you can get some great things from God that way. Put your faith in Jesus and in Calvary. Jesus and the Father, they have always provided healing for their people. He is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals us. Now, the entire Trinity is interested and active in the healing of the total man. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity. That's the spirit. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. That's the soul. By his stripes we're healed. That's the body. But the entire Trinity is interested in your healing. Look at Acts 10:38. How God, that's God the Father, anointed Jesus of Nazareth, that's the Son, with the Holy Ghost, that's the Spirit, and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. If you are sick, the source is the devil. Now, I lose a lot of people when I say stuff like that, but it all came with the fall. And if you'll treat sickness like that, I promise you, you'll win some great battles. And if you just treat it casually, you'll be sick. You'll be sick a long time. You've got to rise up and say, I am who God said I am. I have what God said I am. And I got about 50 scriptures that I'll rattle off till I get my healing. Hallelujah. Most people won't live like that. I don't know why. They just sit in church and they just don't believe the Word of God will do what it says it will do. I've had people that and other denominations. I believe the Bible is the inerrant word of God. I believe every word of it, and they'll fight you over it. Yet they don't believe in the baptism in the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. They don't believe in divine healing. They say the day of miracles is over. Yet they believe the Bible. They don't believe the Bible. They have religion. They're saved. They'll go to heaven. But they don't believe the Bible. If you're going to get something from God, you must believe the word of God. The anointing of the Holy Ghost descended upon Jesus at his baptism in the Jordan. God anointed him. Jesus immediately was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness to face his arch rival, the devil. He overcame the devil with the word of God. He returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. He announced that he had come to fulfill the prophecies of Isaiah. Look at Luke 4:17. He's quoting Isaiah 61 here, by the fact. He picks up the scroll and reads it. Luke 4:17 says, "There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor.'" This is Jesus speaking. He said, "I'm anointed to preach the gospel. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Right there, when Jesus said the acceptable year of the Lord, he was announcing Jubilee. See, in the Old Testament, that was a year of Jubilee. And when that was announced, everybody that was enslaved, they got free. So Jesus is announcing Jubilee for whosoever will. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he freed you and announced Jubilee? Hallelujah. See, that was the day that Jesus announced it right there. "For whom the Son makes free is free indeed." But following this proclamation, all four gospel writers, they record a series of miracles and healing, which all verify that Jesus fulfilled this proclamation. Now, Jesus was anointed by the Holy Ghost, and he did all of his miracles and all of his healings as a man anointed by the Holy Ghost. Now, I just blew some people away. If Jesus healed as the Son of God, then you and I would have no chance of ever healing anybody in his name. He healed everybody on the basis. He loved to call himself the Son of Man. Certainly, he's the God-man. He didn't have an Adamic nature like us. He had a pure nature because he was conceived. A virgin conceived him. And he was born of a virgin. But he did all of his works as a man, full of the Holy Ghost. And he did that to show the church that the works I do, I want you to do the same works, and I want you to do greater works because I'm going to the cross. And so you've got to realize that God has anointed you. And I'll give you some scripture on it. John 14:12. Look at what Jesus said to his church. "He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I'm going to my Father." John 14:12. Why is he going to the Father? He says, "It's expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. If I go away, I will pray the Father, that he will send you another Comforter, even the Spirit of truth, that he may abide with you forever. And when he comes, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you're going to be endued with power to witness and power to do great works, because I'm going to give gifts unto men. And then I want you to do what I did. I came to denounce and the works that I did, they're the works of the Father, but I'm going to the cross, and what I paid for at the cross, I want you to preach it. I want you to teach it. Then I want you to demonstrate it by laying your hands on the sick and watching them recover." This place is full of miracles. I don't know if you know that or not, but our churches, they've not seen anybody healed in forever. I have preachers ask me, said, "How do you see so many people healed?" I said, "Because I pray in the name of Jesus." "How do you pray?" "Oh, Heavenly Father, will you heal this person, Father?" I said, "Well, you're praying good. That's the baby stage of prayer. Ask, ask, ask. Seek, 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 and knock." Now when you start seeking, you're getting somewhere. But you can ask and ask and ask, and it's in order. "Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." That is when you go into your private prayer closet. But when you get ready to pray for the sick, you need the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You need discerning. Paul perceived that that man had faith to be healed. In another place, he perceived somebody had a demon. Come out in Jesus' name. He didn't pray the Father. He was already prayed up. So when you go into your prayer closet, get full of the Holy Ghost. And then when you come out and you're facing people and they got problems, be full of the Holy Ghost and give the command of faith in Jesus' name. I'll show you how it works here. Hallelujah. It's the Great Commission found in Mark's Gospel. Look at Mark 16, 17. You'd be surprised at the pastors that don't know this right here. They just do not know this principle. I mean, they are Pentecostal holiness, and they do not know this. I'm telling you, I know them. They do not know this. Mark 16, 17. These signs shall follow them believe. Are you a believer? Amen. You don't need a pastor's credentials to do this. I was doing it long before they ever gave me. Matter of fact, I was preaching. Who's ordained you? I said, God. Don't you have any denominational credentials? Not a one. You've not chosen me. I got John 15, 16, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. Whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Matthew, look at this. Mark 16, 17. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Are you full of the Holy Ghost? Then speak in tongues. Exercise it. Build yourself up in your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue, speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit, he speaketh mysteries. Hallelujah. I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with understanding. I'm going to talk to God in the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to get some divine revelation, and then I'm going to preach it, and some people are going to get set free. Hallelujah. Some people are going to get some miracles because I've been alone with God, and I'm anointed to do it and called to do it. Not because the International Pentecostal Holiness Church sent me. No, God sent me. Hallelujah. I'm not against denominations. I thank God for the credentials they gave me. But, you know, if I didn't agree with their teachings, I'd leave and get my. I don't need credentials to preach. I just need a covering. I believe in credentials. I believe in organizational structure. But what I'm trying to tell you, we got people that went to the colleges and mama sent them and daddy sent them. You sit on the boards, you know what I'm talking about. Some just went and some were sent. Hallelujah. I say that again. Some just went and some were sent. Hallelujah. Look at verse 18. They shall take up serpents, talking about believers. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. I love this. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I hadn't preached a sermon. I saw that and I said, praise God. I can lay my hands on people and they'll be healed. People say, where'd you get all that faith? I said, I'm just operating what the Bible says. I'm just doing what the Bible says. Hallelujah. So according to the teaching of the Bible, the Father gives the healing. Jesus provided the healing at the cross, and the Spirit manifests or brings the healing. The manifestations of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So as believers, we should ask for and we should receive healing because it is the will of God. The truth of physical healing is found throughout God's word. And whenever asking for divine healing, our faith should always be in the finished work of the cross. Now, look at Romans 10, 17. I don't think it's up there. But faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. If you'll preach the word, faith will rise in people's heart. That's where it comes from. God's word produces faith, and faith believes, and faith acts on the word of God. Faith has to believe. I mean, you just cannot, you can be saved and not have faith for something. That man was on his bed, and that Paul preached to at Lystra. He had faith. He perceived that he had faith, but he wasn't healed. He went to the meeting. I don't know how he got there. He must have had to walk back then. That's how he got somewhere. And he went to hear Paul, and Paul's preaching. And Paul looked out and saw something. He saw faith. You know you can see faith? You can. My little granddaughter, the one that's a year and a half old, she had strep throat last week. And she got on the phone. I said, Grandjerry's going to pray for you. I said, and Jesus is going to heal you. So I've had a remnant and I've been praying. I said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. She said, woo! A year and a half old. Woo! I said, say it again. She said, woo! I put that thing on speakerphone, let Teresa. I said, say it. Jesus loves you. You're healed. Woo! A year and a half old. Wonder where she got that shout from. That's a Holy Ghost shout. Hallelujah. Glory. I mean, a year and a half old. And I called back just to check on her. And guess what? She's healed. Glory to God. Go on, praise the Lord. Woo! Hallelujah. Look at this right here. Proverbs 4:20. See, the truth of physical healing is found throughout the Word of God. You need to memorize this. Proverbs 4:20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear to my saying. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Take the word and rehearse it over and over and over. Give God something to work with. Show him that you diligently seek him. Put Hebrews 11:6 up there if you would, brother. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and here's the important part, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Not casually, not just go to church once in a while. They get into the book and they rehearse it. They incline their ear to their saying. They listen to what the Spirit is saying. They hide that word in their heart. My son, attend to my words. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Proverbs 4:20. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. They are life to those that find them and health to all thy flesh. You want all your flesh to be healed? Get the word. Hallelujah. Look at Psalms 103. I love this. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget none of his benefits. What are those benefits? Who forgives all thine iniquities? Who heals all thy disease? Who redeems thy life from destruction? Who crowns thee with loving kindnesses and tender mercies? Who satisfies thy mouth with good things and renews thy youth like the eagles? I mean, you want to get old and like this? Or do you want to get old like this? Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. My youth is renewed. Come on, brother. You got your back hurt. Get up and shout a little bit. Glory to God. Woo! I mean, the doctors wonder what kind of operation they're going to give him. Jesus operated. Go on, praise him, brother. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! I mean, I went out there to his house and we out there praying. I'm getting there and showing him exercises to do. I left. I said, they probably thought I was crazy, but he's healed. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory! Their health to all your flesh. Turn your faith loose and watch God work. I mean, religion is dead. Religion is just dead, dead, dead. The church is alive. Glory. Hallelujah. I might get even more vile. Hallelujah. I might dance a little bit more. Michael looked at the woman and she said, you look so foolish dancing in front of all those maidens. He said, I didn't do it for you. I did it for God. You know what? She was barren. She never had a child. You know why she was barren? David never went into her. She had the spirit of Saul. She didn't have the spirit of David. If she'd had the spirit of David, she would say, I'm going to get out there and dance with you, David. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! Glory! Look at Psalms 107:20. Why do I preach so much scripture? He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them offer the sacrifice of the thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoice. He sent his word and healed them. Hallelujah. See, look at Article 12 one more time. We believe in divine healing as in the atonement. Now, most Pentecostal people, they are looking for an instant manifestation of healing or for an instant gifts of the Spirit to operate in their life. But most of the healings that I have seen, and I can promise you I have seen a lot of healings. Most of the healings that I have seen come through your faith. And we're looking for the gifts. Now, I operate in the gifts. I love the gifts. And I'm not bragging on me. If you don't think I operate in the gifts, then take a look around this church right here. I'm not bragging. I can't operate them as I choose. I just spend time alone with God. And I believe if I preach the word of God and act in faith, the gifts will operate. I believe if you preach the word of God and you operate in faith, the gifts operate because I've seen them operate in your life. They will operate. If you're going to have faith, you've got to find God's word on your situation. Listen to me very carefully. It's where people miss God right here. If you're going to have faith, you have got to find God's word on your situation, and you've got to start speaking that word over your life. Now, when Jesus faced his arch rival, the devil in the wilderness, he overcame him just the way I've been talking about tonight. Jesus is the living word. I have a revelation from God. It changed my whole world. In the beginning was the Word, was with God, Word was God. God woke me up and spoke that to me and told me where it was in the Bible. Told me what I was supposed to do with it, learn my Word. And so as I began to memorize Scripture, I began to see the power of the Word. Now, I'm going to show you something. If the living Word, Jesus Christ, John, put John 1:14 up there. John 1:14. Jesus is the living Word. The Word was made flesh, John said, and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus is the living Word. Now I'm going to show you how he defeated the devil in the wilderness. Look at this right here. Matthew 4:1. I'm just going to read it right out of the Bible. You can look at it on your screen. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. When the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Do you see that? Now watch this. But he answered and said, it is written. Now here's the living word, Jesus, using the written word. That's why I quote word. That's why you must quote word. Find the word for your situation and then start speaking. The living word, use the written word. Look at this. This is so beautiful. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So in the first temptation, the living word, Jesus, he takes the written word and quotes it to the devil. Watch this. Verse 5, then the devil taketh him up into a holy mountain and setteth him upon the pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, here it is again, trying to cast doubt. Has he ever asked you, has he ever told you you're not saved? He's telling Jesus, you're not the Son of God. If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands shall they bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus saith unto him, look at it. It is written again. He come back. The living word comes back with the written word. It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now, that he will give his angels charge concerning thee. He's quoting Psalms 91. It might be verse 13, somewhere along it. Anyway, he misquotes it. When the devil quotes a scripture to you, he will misquote it. He appears an angel of light. He said, he'll give his angels charge concerning thee, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. He left out the best part. To keep thee in all thy ways. That's what the psalmist said. That's the scripture he's quoting. But Jesus comes back and says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. It's written. Look at this. A third time, the third temptation. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. That's what the devil has always desired. He desires worship. He got kicked out of heaven because he tried to exalt himself against the throne of God. And there was no cosmic battle. He just rose up and God, pew. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. He pulled a third of the angels with him. So we got two thirds of the angels. Again, he said unto them, all these things will I give. He's the God of this world. The devil is the world system. He got it from Adam. But Jesus gave us dominion. You got to know these things. All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Look at this. Then Jesus saith unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written. It's written. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and only him shalt thou serve. We believe in divine healing as in the atonement. Article 12. If you would come, Brother Ray, I want you to sing that song, He Was Wounded for Our Transgression. What I wanted you to see from this entire study is that everything you will ever get from God, if you need anything, I'll give you a book. I've got books on promises of God. I'll even autograph the thing for you. But find what is written on your situation and start quoting that word. Start speaking that word. Give God something to work with. While they're getting ready, there was a preacher that went to John Osteen's church when he was alive. And he had arthritis. He was all bent up like this and all bent over like this. And he heard John Osteen preach about forgiveness. Who am I talking to? And the preacher, he's up against the wall like this, sitting there trying to hold his head up. About 2 weeks later, he comes back to John Osteen's church, and he walked in like this. John said, what in the world happened to you? He said, well, I heard you preach on forgiveness. He said, and I went home, and I said, God, is there anybody I haven't forgiven something of? He said, I thought I'd taken care of all of that. He said, and the Lord began to bring people to my mind. He said, and I said, God, I forgive them. He said, the first week, first few days, said, that finger right there straightened out. He said, God, is there anybody else that I need to forgive? God, I forgive them. He said, and then my fingers began to straighten out. He said, and I just kept searching my heart, like the psalmist says, search me, O God, try me, see if there's any wicked way in me, lead me in the way everlasting. That's some of you. You got some stuff inside of you. You need to get it out. I'm just trying to help you. You know, I'm not harsh. I'm not hard. I'm just telling you, you're harboring stuff that's keeping you from getting miracles from God. And this man finally got his heart searched out right. He said, when I did that, he said, my whole body straightened up. What's the miracle you need from God? What have you been wanting from God? Search your heart out. Let the searchlight of God's word, the Holy Ghost, search it out. And you'll get a word. Let us stand. He was wounded for our transgressions. Hallelujah. Billy. The Holy Ghost spoke to me in Sunday school. And I couldn't interrupt the thing. When I looked in that altar and I saw your faith, I perceived. I believe you are healed. You're going to get a good report, brother.
No matter what you've done to me, Sunday. When I leave here, I'm going to go I was dancing and praising God. Thank you for what he's done for me. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You got to perceive it.
Surely.